In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at Amos, the reading we heard yesterday. And it says, "Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land." You see, what was happening in Amos's day, that when they were weighing things, like they were weighing oil and stuff like that, that they didn't weigh it honestly. And you see, he's rebuking them. But you know what it says in Amos 8 also? It says that in the last days, there would be a famine, not of bread and water and oil, but of the word of God. The word of God would not be proclaimed in the last days. And I tell you, I have been preaching that for 30 years, that this is the last days, and the word of God is very difficult to hear from people. They talk about their vacations, they talk about this, they talk about that, but no one talks about Jesus Christ and how we are saved. Yesterday, I had a children's mass, and what we did is I had the children hang on to the right part of the communion rail, and I asked them to try to reach out to the left part, and I said the right part of the communion rail is the world. That's the world we live in. And the other part of the communion rail is heaven and where Jesus lives. Now try to reach it. And they couldn't reach it. So you know what I did? I put a big cross between the world and the heavens, and I said, "How is the bridge? How is the gap bridged?" And they said, "Through the cross." I said, "Exactly. That's what it means, that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He is the bridge between God and man, that we cannot get to God any way but by Jesus Christ and by his cross and by his death and by his blood and by his resurrection." And you know, people that were adults, it's like they heard it for the first time. I'm telling you, I've preached that for 30 years. I've been at this place 18 years, but you know what? Yesterday they had a visual, and the visual was something that they could see. I remember many years ago, a woman came to me and said, "Father Tom, I had no idea what you were talking about until today. Today, it made so much sense. All these months and all these years I've been coming here, it made so much sense that Jesus is the mediator between God and man." And you know what? That needs to be proclaimed. That needs to be proclaimed. That is the gospel. He is the only mediator between God and man through his death, burial, and resurrection. And unless Jesus is proclaimed, I'm going to tell you there is a shortage of the word of God. There is a famine of the word of God. And it says that in Amos, that in the last days, that there would be a great famine of God's word. And you know, I believe we have been living in those days because people don't know Jesus Christ from Mickey Mouse. Fortunately, we have things like Curcio. Fortunately, we have things like Charismatic Renewal. Fortunately, we have things like Marriage Encounter, where they can encounter Jesus Christ. But in the parish, for the most part, the letters that I get, they say, "Father Tom, no one preaches like you. You don't have to preach like me. Just give the content. You don't have to preach like me. Please, I can barely preach like myself." You give the content. Give the content, that the gospel has content, that there is one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus, and we cannot reach Jesus unless he reaches us through the cross. It's that simple. It's that true. It's that beautiful, that Jesus reaches us and he becomes the mediator between God and man. And that is the reality of it all. Then we look at the gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. So the rich man summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' Now the steward said to himself, "What shall I do now that my master is taking a position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. When I am removed from stewardship, that they may welcome me into their homes." And he called his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, "How much do you owe my master?" He replied, 100 measures of olive oil." He said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Sit down and write 50. Then to another steward he said, "And how much do you owe my master?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. "Here is your promissory note. Write 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. In other words, the master said, "You know, this guy knows how to work in the world. I'm not talking about morally now. He knows how to work in the world, how to get things done in the world." I tell you, the master said, "You know, this is a guy who knows how to get things done in the world. Even though he's ripping me off, I got to give him credit." Listen to what it says. "For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light." That's real. We have Catholics against Protestants and Protestants against Catholics and Orthodox against Catholics and Catholics against Orthodox. The children of this world don't know how to be one, that they would be one as I am one with the... My fight is not with Protestants. My fight is with the devil himself, who hates the gospel from being proclaimed. "I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth," that's money, "so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters," that's money, "is also trustworthy in great matters. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth," that's money, "who will trust you with true wealth?" That's people. I know that with the money that I have, I know that the money must be used as God wants me to use it, that I was at least tithe my money. How will God give me what's important if what is not important? Money is not important. It's not real. It's only fiction. Money is not real. That what I do with money, though, it declares that people come off the street to be prayed for. Because the Lord says, I can be trusted with money. If I can be trusted with money, then I can be trusted with people. Money that means nothing, really. It means nothing. But people mean everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, how are you with your money? If you are stingy, God cannot trust you with people. People are what he died for. Jesus did not die for money. He died for people. If God cannot trust you with money, how can he trust you with what's most important? And that's people. And that's just the way it is. And I'm talking to the church too. If God cannot trust us with money, how can he trust us with his people to proclaim the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ has died, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Hallelujah. If we cannot be trusted with filthy lucre, that's money, how can we be trusted with what God died for? God so loved people. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. And so I say to you, the children of this world are much brighter than the children of the light with their own. That's true. We fight with one another. The children of the world, you know, we go to a place in East Boston, right over the bridge of Winthrop, where they sell fish and they have fish dinners. And people say, "My gosh, we're going to keep on going there." And you know why? Because there's lots of fish you get, and the prices aren't that expensive. And I know my brother goes once a week for haddock on a Wednesday, and you see cars there. There are cars there, lots of cars at all times of the day. And you say, why? Because the children of the world know how to make money. But you see, I'm going to tell you, it used to be like that at the Hilltop. No more. You know why? Because the Hilltop started to save. And people know. There used to be a wait to go to the Hilltop in Saugus. No more. Because the people tried to save, and they put the prices very high, and you got a salad not as big, and you don't get all that butter. You know what I'm saying? the children of the world that know how to do things in the world are really bright. But the children of the kingdom, we're not very bright. First of all, we don't even know the power that we have. We don't even know the power in the gospel. The gospel has power. The gospel has power. And you know, it's the way we treat the needy and the poor. We were out in Boston on Saturday. There must have been 150 people waiting for food. The needy and the poor. And you know, if we cannot treat the needy and the poor with love, we cannot treat anyone with love. There they were waiting. And it wasn't that cold, but there was about 150 people. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but I've never seen so many people out there. And there they came in line to get food and to get chicken and to get chicken salad, tuna salad, egg salad, ham salad, all these things that we give them. There they were. And you know, the way you treat the needy is the way you treat Jesus. I want to talk about Archbishop Ryer, who was the Archbishop of Jerusalem many years ago. He's in heaven now. And Archbishop Ryer, when he became Archbishop of Jerusalem, started to sell the church's property and give it to the poor. So he met with his parish council, and the parish council said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm selling some of the church's property and giving it to the poor." And the parish council said, "Who gives you that right?" He says, "Jesus Christ gives me that right." And the parish council said, "We spit on the poor." And Archbishop Ryer says, "If you spit on the poor, Jesus Christ spits on you." My, my. Could it be any clearer than that? Hear this, you who trample the needy, who destroy the poor. Who's the poorest of the poor is the child in the womb. The child in the womb is the poorest of the poor, cannot defend himself or herself. The child in the womb is the poorest of the poor. That's real. And if they are not defended by God's people, who is going to defend them? They are the poorest of the poor. They have no recourse. They can't run away when the implements are going to get them. They have no idea how to run away. They're contained in a womb. And there's been 60 million of them and 60 million women that have been suffering because they've had abortions. And you know, the child in the womb is the poorest of the poor. And not many people will say that, but that's real. And if you don't care for the poorest of the poor, the Lord's not going to care for you. And that's real. We care for the poor on the streets. Hallelujah. We've been doing it probably for 12 years, every Saturday, except one Saturday, because it snowed. One Saturday for 12 years. I don't know how many years we've been doing it. I'll say 12. And I'm telling you, the people come, and they're so grateful. Because we are helping them. We are feeding them. We are praying with them. Somebody came up to me and said, "Would you pray with me?" He says, "I listen to you on the radio. I listen to you on the radio. Would you pray with me?" Another one comes and they need underwear. Imagine, women have got old underwear on. So next week we're going to buy them underwear. So that they can get, they're talking about the essentials. You're not talking about things that aren't essential. You know, who cares for the poor? Vincent de Paul and the Society of Vincent de Paul, they care for the poor. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We're not the only ones. There are other people caring for the poor. But who's caring for the needy and the poor in the womb? Who's caring for them? Who's caring for them that they can be snuffed out just like that? Just like that, they can be snuffed out. That's why I say the people in front of the abortion mills are standing at the gates of hell, and they are doing what no other people want to do. They are offering life, love, and hope to people. Oh, yes, there have been over 300 children that have been saved. There is no condemnation. People are not there to condemn. People are there to give them hope, help, and love. That's what they're there for. not to condemn. No one is condemned. Even after they had the abortion, we give them literature so that they can deal with it, because they come out very sad. Some will take the literature, others will not take the literature. You see, it's about the poor. And who is the poor? Let me tell you, I'm one of the poor. Oh yes, not monetarily, but I'm one of the Anawim, one of the poor and needy that need Jesus so much. I cannot tell you that I don't need Jesus. When I see the people out in the street, I'm as poor as they are, but I've got a house. I've got a house. I'm needy and I'm poor. Only the needy and poor. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I know that I'm poor. I know it. I feel it in my body every single day, that I don't stand up and say, you know, I've got it all. I don't have it all. I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my heart. I need Jesus in my soul. I need Jesus in my body. I cannot get along without Jesus. Am I perfect? Oh, God only knows that I'm totally imperfect. But I know one thing. I need the Lord. And because I need the Lord, I know everyone else does. And they can hide it if they want, but I tell you, that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we preach Christ as the only mediator between God and man. Why does Christ, and why is he the only mediator between God and man? I'm going to tell you. Who sinned? Man sinned. Woman sinned. But sin is an offense, infinite offense against an infinite loving God. In order for that sin to be made up for, we had to have a mediator who is a man, because man sinned, but who is also God, who takes care of the infinite offense. He has to be God and man. What's his name? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the sweetest name that there is. The sweetest name that there is, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the sweetest name I know. The beautiful name of Jesus. And my friends, how many preach Jesus? How many preach Jesus, even in Sunday school? What are we preaching to these kids? What are we telling these kids? Are we talking about salvation? I talked about salvation yesterday, that Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Then I led them in a prayer that Jesus would come and be in their hearts, and that the baptismal vows would be lived out. Oh, my friends, I have known this for years, but I have listened to people preach, and they don't preach Jesus. I wonder what they preached about the dishonest steward. You see, if you can't be trusted with money, how can you be trusted with people? I'll tell you why people come off the street for me to pray. They come off the street for me to pray with them. A lady came last week, and she gave me money. She gave me $300. I'm not using that money for myself. That money will go out. That money will go out. But why did she come to me? First of all, because her husband was healed of a back injury through prayer and through doctors. She had come to us. Second of all, why does she come to me? Because God knows with money I can be trusted. And if I can be trusted with money, he can trust me with people. That's what the scripture says. If you can be trusted with that which is not important, money, you can be trusted with that which is very important, people. And so God sends people to me from all across the nation. They call me from Albuquerque to pray with them. Why don't they call other people? They have parishes because they know I will pray with them. They know I will pray with them. God trusts me with money, therefore he trusts me with people. If I start stealing money, he's not going to send people to me. I'm going to tell you, I'm not into stealing money. I'm into giving it out. I have my own money, and I have my own share, but I give what I give out much more than a tithe. And God knows that he can trust me with filthy lucre. And if he could trust me with filthy lucre, he can trust me with people that he loves, that he so loved the world, that Jesus shed his blood for us. Can God trust you with money? That's the issue. Can he trust you with money? If he can't trust you with money, he can't trust you with people. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And you know, we are $10,000 in debt this month for the August bills, and we haven't got $10,000 to pay. So if God can trust you with money, if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, why don't you bless us? Why don't you bless us? We're not the only ones that preach the gospel. I know that. But I do know for 30 years I have been on the radio proclaiming Jesus Christ, proclaiming that there would be a famine of the word of God, and there is a famine. There was 30 years ago, and 30 years later, it's worse than ever. A famine of the word of God. I want to commend you if you preach Jesus. I want to say thank you very much if you preach Jesus. I want to say I owe you my prayers if you preach Jesus. If you preach him as the only mediator between God and man, I want to commend you and say thank you and continue. Because if you preach Jesus, people will be saved. Even the Pope said that people need to be saved. That's why we preach Jesus. That's why we preach Jesus, so that people would be saved. And you know what? If we don't preach Jesus, people will not be saved. The only thing we have is a nice club with a nice warm feeling. I'm into warm feelings, but the warm feeling of the Holy Ghost in people's hearts, the warm feeling of the Spirit of God coming and changing people, because that's what the Spirit of God does. That's what happens in Curcio. That's what happens in Antioch. That's what happens in Marriage Encounter. Some people get changed. Thank God. That's what happens in Charismatic Renewal. Father Matthew is out this weekend and preaching to hundreds of people around the Blessed Sacrament. There came about 60 people to worship Jesus as Eucharist. Thank you, Jesus, for Father Matthew. Thank you that he does God's work. Thank you that he does what God calls him to do. Also, thank you for Father Eric, that he preaches Jesus at funerals. Thank you for Father Eric, that he preaches Jesus. I can only thank him for the ones that I know. I know Father Von Hugh. He's very sick now, but he used to preach Jesus and Jesus crucified. Then there's Father Dan, who's not able to preach anymore because he had a relationship with a woman, and they've said no more can you be a priest in the Archdiocese of Boston and preach. But he used to preach Jesus. And then there's Father Jim Goudreau, who was declared innocent in the courts. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. He's the best pastor that I ever met. I'm going to tell you, he far shone over me. He knew his people. He loved his people. And he preached Jesus. And they were all involved. And he was proved innocent by the courts. I wonder if he'll be proved innocent by the diocese. That's another issue. The ones who preach Jesus, the devil is after. I'm going to tell you, the devil is after the ones who preach Jesus. You want to know why? Because there aren't a lot of them. There aren't a lot of them. Oh, Jesus, minister to your people. Preach, minister to the people who preach, especially the priests. Show them that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the blood of Jesus. Show them that you love them. Oh, show them that their vocation is the most important vocation, to preach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God. How many people know that Jesus is present in the Eucharist? How many people know? Well, they know it in St. Adelaide's. Thanks be to God. They know it in Holy Rosary. Thanks be to God. But how many in other parishes know that Jesus is fully present as Eucharist? If you do not preach the presence of God in the Eucharist, you're not going to have people believing. They're going to think it's a symbol. This is not a symbol. This is the Lord. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus risen from the dead, under the form of bread, under the form of wine. This is Jesus. Hallelujah. He wants to heal his people when he comes to us. Hallelujah. This is the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then the Word of God. Oh, yes, we always have the Word of God before the Eucharist, because the Word of God, when we preach Jesus, makes people fertile to receive the Eucharist. The Word of God prepares people to receive the Eucharist. So God, anoint many priests to preach the word of God. Show them how much you love them. Jesus, flood them with your grace. Flood them with your presence. If they don't know how to preach you, Lord, oh Jesus, show them. You know how to show people. You are God Almighty. You are the King of glory. You are the one who gave his life for us and rose from the dead. Listen, I need $10,000 this month. And if you would like to help give me that $10,000 by the end of the week, I'd be very, very, very pleased. Now, I know you can't give me $10,000, but whatever you can give me, I'm not telling you you've got to give me $1,000. I'm not telling you you've got to give me $500. I'm not telling you you've got to give me $10,000. That's up to you and the Lord. We need $10,000 by the end of the week. And if you'd like to go to PayPal, it's www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. You can be sure that the money that we get will be used to preach the word of God. I preach the word of God, and I commend every priest and every minister who preaches the word of God, because in the last days there's going to be a famine, and there is a famine of the word of God. They'll come from the east and from the west, from the north and the south, and they will not hear the word of God. Preach in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.